Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, June 19th. I'm Ray Graff. We're talking soul food today on Southern Cooking on this Food Friday. It comes to us by way of Ali B's Cozy Kitchen in Albany. And on the line to join us today is Kizzy Williams-Francisco, who most people know as Ali B. She is here to answer your soul food questions. If you have one, call us now. Always a popular guest, Kizzy is. And if you want to get in, I suggest you do it early. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You may also email your questions to voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Kizzy, soul food, Southern cooking, your call's coming up on Food Friday right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Food Friday, and we welcome Kizzy Williams-Francisco of Ali B's Cozy Kitchen today. She is here to discuss soul food and Southern cooking. Ali B's is named for the late Ali B. Bethea, a native of South Carolina in the 60s. Ali B. brought her unique recipes and style to Manhattan, began catering, selling food on the streets of Harlem. Ali B. cooked for numerous prominent religious officials, city council officials, state lawmakers, congressional representatives, a New York City mayor, a New York State governor. The tradition now continues through her daughter, Kizzy, who has transplanted her mother's recipes to the Capital Region. If you have a question about soul food or Southern cooking, give us a call. The number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email the program at voxpopwamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Kizzy Williams-Francisco, how are you doing?
You know I'm holding it together, Ray. I was waiting on you to say how you doing so I can say what's up. And it's such an honor to be on WAMC today when the country done made history. Well, when our state done made history, you know, celebrating Juneteenth, giving it to the state workers, and so many people get the day off.
Yeah.
So I am just honored that I'm online with you today. It's kind of emotional.
It's great timing. And, you know, a Food Friday favorite and a friend of yours as well, Deanna Fox, wrote a nice piece for the Times Union, Juneteenth, a chance to reflect on African-American food culture. And in that piece at the Times Union website, she quotes a food historian, Robin Caldwell, who said, "Food is a form of remembrance." And it occurred to me that really that statement is almost a key to your success at Ali B's, right?
Yes, indeed. And I'm going to tell you this, okay? I love Anna Fox. She is just like one of my right-hand girls. She stands for all what's right, what's positive. She's a great leader. She's a great cook.
Oh, yeah.
And she's my homegirl. She's my sister. Deanna Fox, I hope you're listening.
I
love you, girl, and thank you for all the support that she have given to the communities. So, you know, what's going on around the country with Black Lives Matter, Deanna Fox, she rocks. And, again, you know, she is a white woman, and she's a white woman with understanding and love, and she has offered so much to me as a person. So you're right. I know she wrote plenty of pieces. She has done many pieces on me before I even met her.
Now, do you ever let her in the kitchen? I know you're friends.
I have let her in my kitchen.
Really?
And you know what?
What?
I don't let many people in my kitchen.
I believe it.
I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you, it's like I let no one in my kitchen. But Deanna Fox, when she showed up at Ali B's, I did let her in my kitchen. And she's amazing. She also invited me into her kitchen. So I'm truly grateful for our friendship. And like I said, read all Deanna Fox pieces because she's for the people.
Well, you know, that quote, though, food is a form of remembrance. What you do at Ali B's is really, it's a throwback to an earlier time and a different place, right?
No, you're telling the truth. When it comes down to food, you know, when I make candy yams in the restaurant, it's crazy, but today is June, and it takes me back to to Christmas or Thanksgiving. It takes me back to my mother, you know?
Yeah.
When I make the collard greens, and I do collard greens mostly every day, it takes me back to cookouts in the summertime. You know, it takes me back to Harlem. It takes me back to South Carolina. And now I'm starting something new that wherever I go, collard greens will also bring me to the capital. The capital region.
Well,
so that's special.
You know, you have answered many a question about collard greens on this program, and I'm sure you will again today. The number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. We are joined today by a real legend, Kizzy Williams Francisco of Allie B's Cozy Kitchen in Albany. If you got a question about Southern cooking or soul food, now is the time to call. Let's go over to Andy in Poughkeepsie. Andy, you're on.
Yes, I fry chicken, and I have a terrible time keeping the breading on the chicken. It always seems to come off.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Andy, when you fry your chicken, do you just use flour or do you dip it in milk and egg and all of that?
I use the milk and the egg.
No more. When you fry your chicken,
okay.
I want you to just clean your chicken. Wash it off, put whatever spices that you want on that fried chicken, dip it in flour. Just dip it in some flour. No milk, no egg, no nothing. Just dip it in the flour.
Why no milk, no egg?
Do you know why? Because it allows the chicken to have that extra coat. And if the temperature is not right, it will definitely fall off. Because it's like you're adding so much. I'm going to tell you this. I have never in my life fried chicken with buttermilk and flour. Now, I do have cousins that have done it, but it is a different taste. When you bite into that chicken, you can still feel the batter. When you just use flour, you're going to only feel a crunch. And that's what you're looking for with fried chicken. You want a crunch.
Wonderful.
Not a wetness behind it. So, when you fry that chicken, make sure, I'm going to say, turn that grease up to about 350 on your stove, 360. And make sure the grease is hot. Let it get hot for about 10 minutes. And then once it's hot, you can sprinkle some. At home, we just throw a little water. I don't want you to cause a fire, but, you know, just tap it with a little water, and then when it starts sizzling, that'll let you know it's hot. Dip the chicken in that fryer. Let it cook for about 20 to 25 minutes. The longer you keep the chicken in the fryer, the crispier your chicken will be. Okay. Andy? And listen,
my phone number
is 518-729-3472. Call me if you need me, Andy.
Well, that's very nice. By the way, how have you been doing during the lockdown? The last time you were on, you were just about ready to take orders and have delivery.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. When the last time I spoke to you, Ray, we wound up reclosing the store.
Yeah.
You know what? It was really hard for me as a woman that comes from New York City.
Yeah.
So many of my friends and family was affected by Corona-19. So I had to take some extra more time off because my mind I was just so worried. And I was a little sad. So now I'm back, and we're ready to go.
You feel like we're turning the corner here?
I didn't hear you.
You feel like we're turning the corner here?
No, I won't say I feel like we're turning the corner. What I will say, we are progressing because the world is coming out, and as you can see, there's a lot of change going on in this country.
Yeah.
So, no, I would say we are going for it. You know, it's been all kinds of rallies going on with Black Lives Matter. People are coming out because they're not afraid of coronavirus anymore.
Yeah.
So I think we're going for it. I'm proud of this country. I'm proud of Capital Region. I'm proud of Mayor Sheehan, how she comes out and she's supporting the communities that's in the Capital Region.
We are joined today by Kizzy Williams Francisco of Allie B's Cozy Kitchen. If you have a question about Southern cooking or soul food, get in early. 800-3-
Yes, indeed. Come and call us. Call
800-348-2551. We'll take a break and we'll be right back. Food Friday on WAMC. Ray Graff with you. 800-348-2551 is the number. We're joined by the legendary Kizzy Williams-Francisco of Ali B's Cozy Kitchen in Albany. Where do you stand now as far as being open? Are you now we're in phase three. Are you allowing people in the building?
No. No, we still don't allow people in the building. We just do curbside and deliveries.
Yeah.
You know, I want to keep my family safe, and I want to keep my customers safe.
Yeah.
So that's why I have not allowed people in the building. And I will be honest with you, Ray, I'm still a little shaked.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still a little scared with the coronavirus. So maybe my phase three may be in August. Everybody phase one, phase two, phase three is definitely going to be at a different moment. As you can see how the world is changing in so many ways. With Juneteenth.
Yeah.
So everybody has their own moment with phasing. And I, like I said, I'm so proud of the Capital Region with the change that they're going through. I want to give a shout out today to like Elaine Houston and Carolyn McLaughlin, two strong women, black women that's in the Capital Region.
You're always so name dropping celebrities. You know that?
Well, listen, you know what? They come by Ali B's, and you know, we're small here in the Capital Region, so you have to bring up their name so that the young people that's listening to WAMC know who they are, because they are queens who've been running this Capital for the longest.
Yeah.
And this is the time right now we need to be not just making change, but also celebrating these great women, these great leaders like Carolyn McLaughlin, like Elaine Houston, like, you know, Ali B's Cozy Kitchen. And I can go on and on with, you know, it's a white woman I wanted to bring up. Her name is Dr. Angela from St. Rose. She is strong. And our own voices. You know, so many great things is going on with the Capital Region where they writing in the streets, Black Lives Matter,
yeah,
right there on Lock Street. So, you know, I'm happy for that. I'm doing some great things over there on Quellen First, because Quellen First is my community. We're building an outdoor park. It's going to be more like a culture center.
Yeah.
So, you know, in my community, it has been a lot of shooting over there in my community, but it has not been like that within the last year. It has been changing little by little right on that corner in Quellen First. So I want the Capital to know that us as black people, where we want change, we're looking for change, we're looking to buy land, we're looking to buy homes in our communities, and Ali B's is a part of that. Juneteenth is a part of that, because it's about change. When they freed the slaves, they, you know, so many people around this country don't even know what Juneteenth is. They never celebrated it. And with you putting this on WAMC, people from here, downstate and further upstate, get to learn something new.
You know, you make a point, and I'll get back to Deanna Fox's article from the Times Union. There is some ambiguity as to sort of the food, not the appropriate food, but the food that one would celebrate Juneteenth with varies, and it's almost a family thing. It's how your family celebrated it, right?
Yes, it's definitely how your family celebrated. But this is what I will tell you: I lived in New York City my whole entire life, and this was a holiday, a day that we didn't celebrate. You know, it's so much about the black community, where what causes, how can I say, a lot of black people, we're still learning about ourselves. So when you're learning about yourself, it makes it hard sometimes when you go out in the world, when the world knows more about you. I didn't start celebrating this celebration until I moved to the Capital.
Yeah.
I called my sister this morning, and I asked her, I said, when did you learn about this day? And she said to me, I learned about it in the street. And it was a group, she said, some black Jews taught her about Juneteenth.
Hmm.
And I said to her, I said, wow. And This is what America is about right now. This is what this country is doing right now. They're making change. They're making progress so that us as African Americans, we have to learn more about ourselves because history is not in front of us. You get what I'm saying?
I get exactly what you're saying.
It's so hard because when you went to school, it wasn't in that book. You know, I can say I know so much more about Queen Elizabeth than I do Shaka Zulu. Or, like, my given name is Kizzy. And when you see the children growing up today, they know nothing about Kizzy. They know nothing about Kunta Kinte. Nothing about roots. But that's because our education system has to change. You know, we have to put everybody in a book. You know, I know about Gandhi. And Gandhi didn't live here in America. And us as Americans, we have to focus more on our own culture that's so that we can teach our people more.
You know,
and you get what I'm saying,
I get what you're saying. And I've said this before. You've been on this show before. And I predict that you have a much, much wider future than merely running Allie B's, which is a fine thing. And I want to know who's going to run Allie B's when you are in office. That's what I want to know.
Well, you know what? The children that grow in this community, Orbit Hill and West Hill, they will be able to run Allie B's. Allie B's will be able to offer jobs to the community, and that's my goal. And when they see me grow, it'll let them know they can grow. And what's great about my community in Orbit Hill and West Hill, we shine in so many different colors. So I'm grateful for that our children in our community love everybody. And that's what West Hill and Orbit Hill is going to do with the Capital Region. We're going to show people that you can love everybody. It doesn't matter what color you are. And that's what the Capital is working on right now.
Kizzy Williams Francisco of Allie B's Cozy Kitchen is today's guest on Food Friday. The number here is 800-348-2551 if you want to jump in here. And let's go over to line one and Stacy in Del Mar. Stacy.
Hi, so I do not have a food question. I am just here to, and I'm glad Kizzy spoke about so many of the wonderful things she's doing, but I think it's so important, especially on a day like today, you know, being blessed enough to have Kizzy in my life personally and my family's life, you know, that she is all about love and support. You know, when she talks about, you know, female African-American leaders in the community, she is at the top of that list. What she does for her community to better it, she talks about First and Quail. Just an absolute amazing woman, full of love, you know, for everybody. I'm going to say one more thing, and then I'll let you talk, and I'll shut up. You know, she took my son from a cooking standpoint. You know, she has taken my son under her wing and, you know, couldn't be more grateful to, again, just to have her in our lives. She's not only teaching my son about cooking, but about how to be a better human being and, you know, what, you know, and helping him understand all those things she talked about that aren't in the his textbooks. So that's all I have to say.
Let me tell you, not to cut you off, Stacy, but Ray, this young lady, Stacy, that's on this phone, she comes from Queens, and her son name is Mike. And her son is my baby. He's a little white boy from Delmont. And let me tell you how special this family is. They drive all the way to Orbit Hill and bring Mike to Allie B's, and he volunteers with me. He's learning how to make collard greens and candy yams, just all kinds of great things. And what's so special about this family is that it has been a time where it has been a lot of crime in my community, and she came. She brought her son. She dropped him off. She left him here. You know, she wasn't worried. She wasn't scared. And that's what I want the rest of the Capital Region to look at Stacy, the successful white woman who has brought her twins over to Orbit Hill to learn more about African-American culture. And her son is my son. Her daughter is my daughter. And we love her so, so much. The two cherry trees that sit in the park that we created, bought them. Yes, her son, they put their money together and they bought the trees for the park. And I'm going to tell you this, It was $500 for two trees.
Wow.
And they do not live in Auburn Hill. They do not live in West Hill. They live in Delmont.
Yeah.
Their children go to Delmont School over there. They are just amazing people. And this is what I want all people to be able to see what's going on over here. It's great over here. You know, everywhere you go, there may be things that you don't like.
Yeah.
But we shine on this side. And she knows it, and that's why she comes over with her family so that she can get some of this shine and stuff, too.
Well, Stacy, thank you very much for the call. Now,
we love you, Stacy.
Can her son cook, though? That's the question.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you, this boy can cook. They done cooked for me. They are Italians. Stacy is Italian. They make meatballs and the sauce from scratch. And listen.
That's all right.
And they will send the food over, and Lord knows my family be so happy when Stacy and them cook for us. Stacy, we want some more meatballs and some more sauce.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Kizzy Williams Francisco of Allie B's Cozy Kitchen joins us on Food Friday every so often, and today is one of those days. Michael in Vermont is on. Michael.
Hi, yes. I make a dish called smothered chicken. I learned it years ago, a person who had lived in the South, and I'm wondering if you're familiar with it.
Of course, I love smothered chicken. I make smothered chicken in Allie B's. We didn't make it today, but we make smothered chicken. We make smothered steak. Turkey wings. So, put it like this: whatever you find in the house, if you don't do nothing with it today, the next day you can make smothered.
Well, what do you smother it with?
Well, it's so interesting. You actually use its natural broth, but what you put in the broth, smothering means it's literally almost under the liquid, but not quite, are three equal parts of red, white, and black pepper.
That's what you said you use.
In the broth.
What do you use, Kizzy?
I don't know.
Let me tell you.
Well, I don't know how genuine that is, but boy, I'll tell you, it's a knockout flavor.
It is.
And one more thing, if you could just comment on, which is sassafras. Used in a powder form for thickening. I've actually used it in that dish. Is that something you're familiar with?
I use just flour.
Yeah.
I use flour and some water. I use like some broth. You can use chicken broth, beef broth, and water. Okay. You don't have to use broth. You can use flour and water. Mix that flour and water up. Put it in that pot and let the flour and water cook. Similar like a roux. But you're going to add a lot of water, and eventually it will thicken up. I mean, it's the same broth that I use. I mean, the same thickness that I use when I make my meatloaf. You know, that flour and that water.
I throw it over the
ground beef. But, yes, I love smothered chicken.
Really?
Yeah, me too. If anybody out there hasn't tried that yet, that equal combination of those three peppers, red, white, and black, and you flavor it with that to the level you can handle the heat, because it's going to have some heat. Boy, it is an adventure.
Okay.
I cut it a little with sour cream just before serving.
Okay.
Maybe put it on some potatoes or maybe some wide noodles. So that's what I do with it.
But, Kizzy, that's not the way you do it, right?
With the sour cream and everything.
Yeah, but you keep it much more simple than the three
peppers. I keep it simple because, you know, back in the South, no one had, they wasn't cooking with the sour cream. They were making it like with flour and the water, just as simple and whatever you had in that house. But I'm going to have to try that sour cream.
Okay, fair enough. Our number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Of course, I do think, and you brought this up with our first caller today, really one of the secrets. There are very few people who make fried chicken that I like the fried chicken. You are one of two.
And, damn.
Yeah, and the thing is, it is because you keep it simple, I think.
Yes, simple is always best. You know, certain recipes, you look for them to be complicated, you know, with a lot of spices. Like if you eat West Indian food, you know, you like it when they have 20 different spices and seasons in it. But like as I always tell you, in South Carolina, people were cooking with things that they had. You know, they wasn't out there looking for saffron. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I get it.
It wasn't no curry down in South Carolina when they were freeing the slaves.
Yeah.
You know, they were out there. They were looking in the woods, catching a rabbit and making some smothered rabbit.
Do you ever do the smothered rabbit over at Allie B's?
Yes, I love smothered rabbit. I mean, not in Allie B's.
No?
But I love smothered rabbit. I love duck. Like, during the holidays, we sell roast duck in Alley B's.
Yeah.
Sometimes we may cook duck for the store and, you know, sell pieces to the customers. But, I mean, I grew up on all of that good stuff.
Duck is tricky, though, right? I mean, I've had some really rotten, lousy duck.
Well, no. I'm going to have to send you a duck, honey.
Really?
You're going to eat the whole thing.
Well, I got to share it with my children.
Duck, let me tell you, when I make a duck at home, I have to make at least two ducks. And it's me, the 14-year-old, and the 22-year-old. Holly, she really doesn't care too much for duck.
Yeah.
But because she says that it's greasy.
Yeah, well, I mean,
but
that
she do like venison, so I would have to make some deer meat for Holly.
You know, that's a common thing about the duck, though. If it's not done well, it can get greasy on you. That's
yes,
for sure.
Yes. Well, you know what I do when I cook it? I cook it in water, and then I consistently drain the grease off of it and add more water so that it can cut the grease.
All right, let's grab one more
call. I'm going to make you a duck. I'm going to make you a duck, Ray.
You know what? Next time you come here in person, and eventually we're going to let guests back in the studio, then maybe we'll talk about the duck.
I'm going to just make you a duck, and I'm going to send it to you. I'm going to have to put that on my calendar.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to that. Let's go to Eric in Red Hook. Eric, you're on.
Hey, thank you very much. Listen, I'm really happy to hear your thoughts on a more inclusive America. I think we're a much better country than the crap that's going on right now.
Of course.
I wanted to ask you, this is an ugly time, but we're better than that.
Yes, we are.
What I really wanted to ask you, and I do agree about the chicken with just flour, and don't just dredge it. Throw it in the bowl of flour and let it sit there for a while. What I really wanted to ask you was about how to cook okra. I've been trying over the years, and the only way I can get my friends to eat it is if I slice it up and fry it. And there's got to be other ways to cook okra.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. Just to let you know, I love okra.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you can steam it in a little bit of water. You can saute it. Like, my aunt, she loves okra with, like, she cooks it. She gets, like, some tomatoes in a can. And she pours the tomato juice that's inside the can, all inside the frying pan. She rinsed the okra off. She sliced it up. And she cooked the okra just like, and throw some corn in it. And she cooks it just like that.
Hmm.
And it's divine. You throw some pepper right on top of that bad boy, and boom. And guess what? You don't even have to use no oil. You use the liquids from out the tomato can.
Huh. Eric, what do you think?
That actually makes sense, because I mean, if you add any oil to a pan and try to saute okra, it just gets, you know, it gets kind of slimy. And,
right, and you know what? Some people don't like the
delicious
slime. Yeah, some people don't like it when it's so slimy.
But yeah, I think it's one. I grew up in Washington D.C. and I remember having okra in a lot of places down there, and it just nobody up north seems to understand that okra is delicious.
Well, this is what I will tell you. In February, I cooked some food. They had it was like African Day they had out here in the capital. And I did fry the okra. I put the okra right on a stick. I fried it in the fryer, had some peanut sauce on the side.
Oh, yeah.
But okra is definitely a dish that in the African-American families, they cook all the time.
Yeah. Well, Eric, thanks a lot. We have to take a quick break
here. Thank you, Eric.
Kizzy Williams-Francisco of Alley B's Cozy Kitchen is here today. We talk Southern cooking and soul food on this Food Friday. 800-348-2551 is the number. We'll be back. It's Vox Pop. It's a Food Friday. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551, joined by Kizzy Williams-Francisco of Alley B's Cozy Kitchen. I got to tell you, Kizzy, you know, Charlene Knight is answering the phones today. And she's,
hey, Charlene, I love you, baby girl.
She's a little despondent because there's no food here.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? Holly said the same thing to me. She was like, you know, you should have sent raising food. No. I just looked at them.
You don't. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what? You have the right answer. Why bother? You know, when next time you come, we'll eat some food. We'll hang out. Let's go back.
I'm gonna send y'all some duck.
All right. You really? I mean, you could wait. We could have it. We could have it together, right?
Listen, I've been done ate the whole duck. I want you to take that whole duck because I know you're gonna eat it all. You're gonna need it.
Well, you know, I have to share it with the kids, right?
Well, you may not be able to because that's how good it is. And sometimes you deserve things for yourself.
You know what? I like the way you think. Let's go to Beth in Schenectady. Beth, you're on.
Hey, I haven't had soul food probably since I lived in New York City, I must say, sadly. But so here's just sort of a trivia question. Are French fried sweet potatoes a soul food or just a Southern food?
Sweet potatoes is soul food. Now, French fries, you know what? I guess you can call French fries if you would like soul food. People don't say that, but I guess I would say it is. Throw it in there. Why not?
Okay, excellent. All right, that's all.
And Beth?
That's all I had to say. I got off to step up and get some collard greens or something.
All right, Beth, thank you very much for the call. Kizzy Williams-Francisco is our guest today. Well, I mean, soul food, you can't look.
It's from the heart. And when you make French fries, I'm going to tell you this. I've been making fries since I was like 5 years old. Potato chips, you know, without potatoes there would be no potato chips. And you know, it takes you, the reason how you got a potato chip is because they were making French fries and they probably cut them so thin one day it just became French fries. I mean potato chips.
Right.
So, you know, I say give it to the soul food.
But I mean soul food, like comfort food, it's sort of a generic term. It can mean whatever you want it to
and
mean,
potato
right?
Potato chips is comfort. Am I right or wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. But
and you know it.
I like to put gravy on them though.
It is delicious with gravy on it, and it's good with ice cream.
Oh, come on.
I love potato chips. Dip the potato chips in the ice cream. Oh my goodness. Very good.
I gotta say, I haven't tried that. I've never tried that, but now I have to try that. Let's go to Susie.
Ice cream and potato chips.
Susie in Northampton, you're on with Kizzy Williams Francisco of Alley B's.
Hey, Susie.
Hi. I didn't want to disappoint Ray, so I'm going to ask Kizzy, what's your favorite collard recipe? But I also want to say that Ray and his producer, if they're right there in the station, the WAMC should go to your restaurant and get them the food and pay for it and bring it back.
Okay. Well, you know, our budget's a little thin right now, as is our staffing level. But
I love Susie, though. That's woman power. We stick together, Al.
I'm going to stay out of this. You go right ahead.
So, Susie, you wanted to know the collard green recipe?
No, your favorite one.
My favorite recipe for collard greens.
Correct.
My favorite recipe for collard greens is you just add a quarter pot of water. You cut up your collards like strings, then wash them down because collard greens hold a lot of dirt. So, you know, soak them in the water, a little vinegar, salt, and a little sugar because collard greens are bitter. And that's basically
a little vinegar, did you say?
Yes, a little vinegar. So you got salt,
right?
Vinegar, a little sugar, just a tap of sugar. And just let it cook down with the smoked meat for about an hour and a half. If you got a pressure cooker, throw it in a pressure cooker for about an hour, and it is divine. Smoked meat, some salt, a little vinegar, some sugar, a little bit of water. There go your collard greens. You can never go wrong. Whether you use smoked meat for turkey or pork or beef, whatever you use, just make sure you use some smoked meat. And you cannot go wrong.
Good.
And if you check me, if you look up Alley B's Cozy's Kitchen on Let's Eat for Channel 13, they have many of my recipes up there. So check that out as well.
Now, wait a minute. Are you starting to advertise other broadcasting outlets here?
Well, you know what? They have so many of my recipes up on their line. Well, you know, in that part of the Capital Region. So anybody that's part of the Capital Region, we just show love to because they're part of the Alley B's family.
All right, fair enough.
And I can go on and on.
Well, Susie, thanks very much for the call. 800-348-2551 is our number. Kizzy Williams-Francisco is here. Now, when you make your collard greens, you put them in the pressure cooker, or do you cook them, slow cook them for a long time, though, right?
I cook them at the stove. But you know what? When I'm home, like with the coronavirus is going on,
yeah.
I still had to eat collard greens.
Yeah.
And it was days I didn't come in. So I cooked them in my pressure cooker. I would, you know, get the collard greens, wash them bad boys down, put a quarter pot of water in that pressure cooker, put some salt, a little vinegar, a little sugar, a little cooking oil. I left the cooking oil out. You need the cooking oil to release the... so that it can be tender. And I would cook them collard greens in that pressure cooker, and Lord knows,
yeah,
it was so good.
Okay, but now if you don't use a pressure cooker, how long does it take? It takes a while, right?
If it takes an hour in the pressure cooker, it takes you 2 hours on the stove.
Yeah, okay, let's go back
but
to...
But you want to, it's something slow. You know, most comfort foods take its time to cook. You know what I'm saying?
No, I know what you're saying.
A lot of times, when people didn't have money, they had like a piece of meat that probably was tough. Like, you know what? I grew up off a fowl. It was a chicken called fowl.
Yeah.
And you know, it doesn't matter how long you cook that fowl, it's always tough.
Yeah.
But many people make soups out of that.
Well, that's interesting.
And I grew up off of that. Now, I don't cook fowl now, but I definitely grew up eating it.
You know, I'm a fowl cook. A lot of people say that.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm going to say you must be a good cook if it tastes anything like a fowl.
Oh, no way. Let's go to Lynn in Southern Columbia County. Lynn, you're on.
Hi. I'm just enjoying the show very much.
Hey, Lynn, how you doing today?
All right. Black-eyed peas.
I love black-eyed peas.
I grew up in Ohio, and we had black-eyed peas, and sometimes they had a ham hock in them, and sometimes they had some vegetables in them, and sometimes they had other things. What I'm asking about, I have done them dried, and I have done them canned in an emergency. We had to have these on New Year's Day, for sure.
Well, that, you know what? In a lot of African-American families, we cook them on New Year's Day. That is definitely the truth. I grew up eating black-eyed peas. Let me tell you, I grew up eating black-eyed peas so much. By the time I was a teenager, I hated them. Okay?
Really?
Yes. But now as a grown woman, isn't it something you hated it because you ate it so much? Now as a grown woman, I love them. I can eat black-eyed peas every single day. And
I didn't like.
Now, when I cook them, I always cook the dry ones. I never cook them out the can. So, you know, I always wash them off.
And you soak those.
Well, you
soak them even though they're little.
You can soak them, but I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of times, I don't have time to soak them. I wash them bad boys down. I maybe soak them for like 10, 15 minutes the most. Drain the water off of them, and I put them in the pot. Now, if they did not tenderize the way I want them, I have a secret for you.
Oh.
You can add a teaspoon of baking soda.
Baking
not a teaspoon,
soda?
Just like, not a teaspoon maybe.
I remember baking soda. My mom put baking soda
what
in
what does
there.
The baking soda do, Kizzy?
It helps tenderize the beans. If you put too much in it, it'll make it like water. But you just need a tap.
Got it.
Yes, and even when I make
that.
Like homemade baked beans, because you know baked beans that take 2 days to make. It takes 16 hours to make homemade baked beans. And that was
the
secret that I used with baked beans as well. A little bit of baking soda in the navy beans to make them nice and tender.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Do you ever cook baked beans?
No. Oh, I have the pots. I have the 1 pound pot and the 2 pound pot and the rest of the pots, the molasses to go with it. But back to the black eyed peas. I'm remembering something like ham hocks or knuckles or something.
You can use
in
ham
there.
Hocks. You can use ham. Put now, times has changed. So you can use any kind
turkey.
Of smoked meat you want, whether it's
smoked
neck
turkey
bones,
you could use for those people who don't. Yeah.
Or you can use smoked turkey tails or just smoked turkey wings or smoked turkey necks. Or I eat pork. Some people don't eat pork.
Right.
But if you eat pork,
I do.
Use neck bones and your ham hocks. And
I'm going to put these dried beans in the water.
Yes.
I'm going to put these dried beans in the water, and I'm going to put in the a little vegetables, whatever's hanging around in the ham hocks and the stuff and a smidge of baking soda. How long are these going to go on the stove to be edible?
I'm going to say let them cook on the stove for about an hour and a half to 2 hours. Now, don't add the baking soda until, like, when you're about an hour and a half in. and you taste your beans, and they're not, if they're not tender. You only need that because sometimes you may get that batch that's just not right. So if the batch, you may not need that baking soda. That's only in case of an emergency. If the family shows up 2 hours early and you want to feed them, you throw a little baking soda in to get it tender. If the beans is just not tenderized the way you want it to tender, when it done cooked for, you know, 2 hours and it's still not soft, just a tap of that baking soda inside of it, and bam. But I love black eyed peas. I can eat them all
day. I do too.
And
the,
and, you know,
the New Year's Day
thing. Dumplings.
So the New Year's Day thing?
Yes, and sometimes I may add dumplings.
Essential for New Year's Day.
Yes.
Why? Does it cure the hangover?
No, do you know, I just prefer. Now, if you're asking why do they use the black eyed peas for New Year's Day, because there's a sense of good luck.
Ah.
Well, everybody enjoy good luck.
Well, Lynn, thanks a lot for the call. Kizzy Williams-Francisco.
Thank you, Lynn.
All right, so question for you. Now, you brought something up a couple of minutes into that call, and I must follow up. You make baked beans from scratch?
I make baked beans from scratch.
What?
And listen, they call Hallie Bees.
Tell me about this. Tell me how you do it.
Well, with me, it's more of an 8-hour process because, you know, baked beans actually do take 2 days to make.
Yeah.
So I would work on these baked beans for 8 hours in Hallie Bees Cozy's Kitchen.
I'm sorry. If it takes 2 days, how come it takes you 8 hours?
Hold on.
All right.
So then after I cook them for the 8 hours, I temperature them, I let them cool down, and then I put them in the fridge, and then the next morning when I come here, I have to put them back in the oven for like another 4 hours.
Oh.
Yeah, because you want the perfect color. You want, because remember, when you're making baked beans, those are navy beans. They're white.
Yeah.
By the time you finish baked beans, they're nice and brown and sticky and pretty and good because of the molasses and the brown sugar and the powdered mustard and just all kinds of work that you put in to those baked beans. And I'm telling you, they are divine.
I mean, this is amazing.
When I grew up, everybody called them baked beans, right?
Yeah.
When I grew up, we called them porking beans.
Oh, well, we called it that, too.
Porking beans is the same thing as baked beans.
Yeah.
Am I right?
No, you're absolutely right.
Baked beans is the fancy way.
But, you know, I got to say, you, at Hallie Bees, if I go in and get baked beans, they are from scratch?
They're from scratch.
Oh, my heavens.
They're from scratch. But this is what I will tell you.
What?
I don't really have them in the store. You have to call for a
case. Oh, really? Yeah, it's a lot of work, I would imagine, or a lot of time, anyway.
It's a lot of work, and you know what? I put it like this. The price that I charge, we charge $100 a pan. It's still not enough. It's still not enough for all the hours that you put in for baked beans. Baked beans should be $1 million a pan.
Well,
telling you the truth.
$1 million, that would be pretty.
$1 million a pan, because that's how much love and work you got to put in into those baked beans. You got to let them boil on the stove. Then you got to season them up, turn them around. Then you got to put them in the oven, let them cook in the oven. Pay attention because you don't want them to burn. It's a lot of love. And when you taste real homemade baked beans, you can taste the love. And you know what? This is what I will say to you moving up to the Capital Region.
Yeah.
When I lived in New York City, when we had our cookouts, we didn't have baked beans for all our cookouts, okay? But when I moved to the Capital Region, it seems like every family that come in the Capital, inside Hallie Bees, it doesn't matter whether you're black or white, they want baked beans.
Oh, yeah.
For the 4th of July when they have their family gatherings. So in the Capital Region, they love homemade baked beans.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I've ever had homemade baked beans.
Oh, my goodness.
But we love our baked beans when I cook out.
That's for you, too. Lord knows.
Not at $1 million a pan. I tell you, I'll skip the baked beans.
Let me tell you, I'm going to have to do a class at the Albany Cooking School with Deanna Fox, and that's something that we will have to do is baked beans.
You know, Charlene Knight is over on the other side of the glass. She's been screening the calls, and she apparently is on board with the $1 million a pan baked beans. So
that's my girl. $1 million for Hallie Bees baked beans. And we got it for you.
Well, you know, we only got about 2.5 minutes here. And besides being a great cook and a great guest, you know, you are somebody who I think is sort of a visionary. And this has
Thank
been a
you, Ray.
This has been a tough time and
yes,
just a wrenching time for this country. What do we got to do to make things better?
Well, this is what I will say, okay? I will say this to my white family. Listen to your black friends, because I'm a black woman, and as to my white friends, I'm not going to cry. So sometimes, even when your friends are not crying, they're hurting. Because I can tell you, Ray, I'm with all what's been going on in this country, it has made me so emotional. I can shed my tears right now, because people want change. You know, you don't want to go somewhere in life and feel like you're different. And everybody don't make people feel that way, but there are people in this world that do make people feel that way. And we have to raise our children. So we have to raise our children and let our children know people are a difference in color. White people has to say to their children, you were born with like this special gift because you're white. Use that skin color to do great things for other people. You understand what I'm saying to you?
I understand what you're saying.
You have to say to yourself, it's okay for me to have that white privilege. I'm going to use that white privilege and change the world for better. The same way when, guess what? I'm going to use my gift of soul food from the South to make food better. You get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying.
My chocolateness, my colorfulness with my color, I'm going to change the world with my color. Change the world with your color. Remember that when you are a lighter-skinned person, rules apply to you different. You can be, you don't even have to be dressed as nice as that African-American person, and people will give you that chance. So remember, you are the key. Use that skin color. Stand up for your friend, because your friend may be scared to speak. You get what I'm saying to you?
Yeah, you know.
And to our police department, to the police department, when you come in these communities of black families, a lot of times the black families are intimidated by the police department. Show them that you can be their family. Show them that you're here for them, that they're not there for you. You're here for their change. And if you are afraid, it's okay, because a policeman can be afraid too. And if you are, it's okay. Talk to the community that you work for and tell them, I want to learn more. I want to be your friend. I want to be your family. Bring your children to the communities and show your children that they're not different. We're all the same.
Hey, Kizzy Williams.
You have to teach your children that first. And before we cut off, my family comes in all shades of color, black, white, Asian, we all of that. And guess what? We're marching together. So if my family can march together, I know this country can march together.
And that's a good way to end our program. We're just about out of time here. Kizzy Williams Francisco, we love you, and we'll see you in person real soon. Have a
love
great
you, WAMC.
Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you on Monday.